我看电视的时候啊，有一个这样的情景出现。
I saw this scene in a television program last week.
有一个下属啊，他走到他的上司面前了，他经理面前啊，告诉他的老板说，他发现了这个公司里面啊，现在所面临的一个很重要的问题。
An employee walked up to his manager and started describing a problem that their company is currently facing.
那老板就问他了，啊，那很好啊，你找到问题，那怎么样解决呢？
The boss said, it's very good that you have seen this. How can we overcome this problem?
他回答说，我不知道，我只知道问题在哪里，但是我不知道怎么去解决。
He answered, I don't know.I only see where the problems are and not how to solve them.
那个老板就非常的生气的对他说，公司付你工资是要你去找出问题然后去解决问题。
The boss said angrily, the company pays you to find problems and then solve them.
如果你的能力只能够找出问题而不能够解决问题的话，我是不是只应该给你一半的工资呢？
If you're only capable enough to find problems, but not to solve them, then I should only pay you half your salary.
啊，并且如果你找到的问题是不能够解决的问题，你为什么要找他出来呢？
Besides, if you saw problems that can't really be fixed, why did you even bring them up in the first place?
那是当我看到这个电视剧里面的这个情景的时候，其实我对人生也有一点的感想。
When I got to this point, a thought popped into my head.
有些人啊，对生活是很悲观的，他很容易在自己的生活里面去找到各种各样不同的问题出来。
Some people are very pessimistic about life, and they often find all sorts of problems with theirs.
啊，他们对自己这个不满啊，对其他人也那个不满啊。
They are unsatisfied about this, and they are unhappy about that.
他们只会在生活中去寻找问题，而从来不去思想怎么去解决问题。
They only find problems in life, but never think about solutions.
啊，结果怎么样呢？结果就是让自己啊，常常生活在那种不满的情绪里面。
And they end up feeling constantly dissatisfied.
你想想，一个人又喜欢挑毛病啊，但是呢，这些毛病又不能逃避的，这像这样的人很容易会得到现在很流行的那种叫忧郁症。
If a person really only likes to pick up faults that are often unavoidable, soon they will descend into depression.
那我们看传道书啊，已经看了一段时间了。现在呢，我们看到传道书的最后两次讲到了。
We have been looking at Ecclesiastes for a while, and now we've come up to the second last sermon in the series.
在这差不多半年的讨论当中啊，我们不断的看到这个传道者这所罗门，他不断地指出人生中有很多很多的问题。
In our discussion over the past 6 months, we have seen the preacher repeatedly point out the problems of life.
比如说他说啊，追求金钱是有问题的。
For example, the problem with the pursuit of money.
啊，你追求享受啊，人生的享受也是有问题的。
Problem with the pursuit of pleasure.
啊，甚至说你去努力的工作，追求社会的公义，都好像是虚空的。
Even the pursuit of hard work and social justice are meaningless.
所以我发现呢，在团契当中啊，大家开始讨论这个传道书的时候，开始对人生有一点灰暗的感觉。
So lately, I've noticed a general gloomy mood within our cell group meetings when we are talking about Ecclesiastes.
人生中有这么多的问题啊，这么虚空，你还活着干什么？
What is the point of living when there are so many problems in life?And everything is meaningless.
那如果你开始这样的想法的时候呢，你就错了。
But if you start to think like this, you are going on the wrong track.
如果你认为啊，所罗门他一天到晚在讲虚空，所以他是一个对人生很悲观的人，你也错了。
And you'd also be wrong if you thought that Solomon is a pessimist when you see him complaining about meaninglessness day and night.
从圣经当中我们知道，所罗门是一个非常有智慧的人。
From the Bible, we know that Solomon was a wise person.
愚昧的人呢，是找出问题而不去解决问题。
Only fools find problems and not try to solve them.
智慧人是会找出问题，并且去寻找解决或者是面对它的方法。
A person of wisdom, however, will uncover problems and search for ways to face them.
所罗门找到了很多人生的问题，所以他认为这个世界是虚空的。
Solomon thinks that the world is meaningless, because he has found many problems with the human condition.
这是一个事实，但是在传道书的最后三章，就是我们这两次要看的时候，所罗门不是说找到了问题就算了，而是他要为这样的人生找出路。
This is the truth. But in the last three chapters of Ecclesiastes, he didn't stop at finding problems, but continued to search for a way out.
当然他也明白问题啊，很多时候不是解决了就不会再有。
Of course, he also understood that problems weren't permanently go away after you solve them.
或者说有些问题是不能够由人来解决的。
And some problems might not even be solvable by mankind.
所以他所提出的解决的方法是怎么样去面对人生当中这种不能够解决的问题的时候，人仍然能够很积极的来生活。
So he proposes a solution on how to live a life with optimism when faced with so many unavoidable problems.
他选择了不去逃避问题，而是去面对问题。
He chose not to turn his back on the problems.But to face them head on.
他认为就算是这个世界这么虚空，他也要在这么有限制的环境和有限制的生命当中去活得更好。
He thought that even if life was meaningless, he'd still find a way to live happily under this constraint.
想象一下，如果我们是一条小鱼啊，如果神只是让我们活在一个非常小的水塘里面。
It's as if saying that we were fish and...God has placed us to live in a pond.
如果我们的思想当中一天到晚想的是，哎呀，怎么这个水池这么小啊？
So if we spend our days thinking why the pond is so small,
或者是为什么别的鱼可以在大海里面游，为什么我只能在这个小水塘里面？
Or why other fish are allowed to live in the sea while we're stuck in here?
如果你的思想是这样的话，你怎么活都会觉得人生是没有意义的。
If this is the case, then you would never find any meaning.
但是如果我们所想的是积极的，这就完全不一样。
But things would be very different if we thought under a more positive light.
既然我们不能改变，我们是生活在这个小水池里面的这个事实的话，那我怎么样才可以在这个水池里面可以活得更开心，更有意义呢？
If we can't change the fact that we live inside a small pond, then how should we live to be happier and live more meaningfully?
对所罗门来说，有这样思想的人才叫有智慧的人。
To Solomon, people who thought this way deserve to be called wise.
传道书里面啊，传道者指出的人生的问题，其实他最终是要告诉人，不要麻木的去相信人生总是美好的，将来一定是好的。
The purpose of the preacher pointing out all these problems in life is to stop people from blindly accepting that life is filled with happiness.
但是同时他也为人去寻找在这种有限制的当中怎么样可以生活下去。
And at the same time, to find a way out for mankind.
他对人生的总结，就是传道书的总结里面有两方面的提醒。
In his final conclusion, he leaves us with two nuggets of wisdom about life.
第一呢是有关人生活在这个人类社会当中啊，人类社会的群体里面所需要的智慧是怎样的。
The first is the wisdom that we need to live inside a society with other humans.
第二呢是人生活在这个神所创造的世界当中，与神之间的关系要怎样的。
The second is the wisdom that we need to manage our relationship with God.
所以呢，我们最后这两个星期我们分开两次来讲到所罗门对人生的总结。
So let us spend 2 weeks examining Solomon's summations on life.
第一个这个礼拜呢，我们讲到是在这个人类群体当中，就是人与人之间那种关系的智慧。
So first week we're looking at the wisdom that we need to deal with other people.
我们有圣经，打开圣经，我们看着圣经一起看下去啊。在第十章的时候，一到三节里面，传道者以几只死的苍蝇，使到整盘的香料变成坏了，这样的一个例子啊，来表达智慧呢，人的智慧啊，虽然不能够解决 最终极的一个问题啊，人最终极的一个问题就是死亡的问题。
So let us open up our Bibles to the passage and have a look at verses 1 and 3, in which Solomon uses the illustration of flies contaminating perfume. And he points out that even though human wisdom can't solve the ultimate problem in life, which is death,
在生活当中要做一个智慧的人啊，相对来说还是非常的有用。
It is still amazingly useful to be a person with wisdom.
人生中有时候你做了一两件愚蠢的事，足以叫你后悔一辈子。
Sometimes a few foolish things can make you regret them for the rest of your life.
我想特别是年轻人哈，有时候以为自己我们有钱啊，有那个本钱就是年轻啊，很多时候就做很多不应该做的事，到最后呢，你后悔一辈子。
Especially with those young people among us who think that they're young and that they can do anything, they might leave a few things to regret for the rest of their life.
这个不在里面哈，在前阵子我看到新闻里面，原来澳洲有很多很多十四五岁的女孩子就已经做了母亲了。
Recently, I've read that in Australia, many teenage girls, 14 or 15, have already become moms.
人生中一两件事情可能就影响你一辈子的生活。
A few things in your life can affect the rest of your life.
怎么样的人才叫有智慧的人呢？
What kind of person can be called wise?
从第四节传道者就开始讲了。
The preacher starts telling us in chapter 4.
在第四到第七节里面呢，传道者讲的是人在自己的工作环境当中应该如何的面对。
In verses 4 to 7, the preacher tells us how to handle situations at our workplace.
第四节说啊，如果你的上司来骂你、责备你的时候，你最好不要反抗。谦卑的去接受。
Verse 4 says that when you're being criticized by your boss, it is best not to retaliate, but to humbly accept.
事实上，的确是的，有时候做上司的那个人呢、不一定他的能力就比你强，很多时候愚昧的人也可以坐在高位上面。
In truth, bosses are not necessarily more capable than you are. You can find many fools in high places.
问题是你是下属，有智慧的人就会顺服掌权的。
But as a subordinate, it is your duty to obey those with power.
其实传道者想指出的是，一个智慧人呢，在工作当中应该是与上司或者下属都有良好的关系的。
What the preacher is trying to say here is that at work, a wise person will make sure that he has good relationships with people both above him and under him.
如果一个人没有和其他人有良好的关系的时候，你做什么事都不会顺利。
A person will run into all sorts of trouble if he didn't have good relationships with those around him.
在第八到第九节里面呢，传道者讲到了人的心思意念是要正直的。
Verses 8 and 9, the preacher tells us that one must have righteous intentions.
不要挖陷阱去害人，不要去拆掉别人的墙环。
Do not dig pits for others to fall in or break others' walls.
因为很多时候啊，就是害人终害己，大家听过是吧？
Because often you will also end up hurting yourself as well as others.
我讲个故事给大家听。
Let me tell you a story.
在很久很久以前，有一只老鼠啊，常常的在背后讲青蛙的坏话。
Once upon a time, a mouse was always talking behind the frog's back.
那个青蛙呢，就一直心里面很不舒服，很不喜欢它。
So the frog started to hold a grudge against the mouse.
有一天，这个青蛙来到老鼠的家里面，看见老鼠睡着了。
One day, the frog visited the mouse's house, and upon seeing the mouse asleep.
于是他就想到了，他把一条绳子啊绑住了老鼠和自己。
He quickly tied himself and the mouse together.
然后他就自己一跳跳进了水池里面。
Then he leaped and plunge deep into a pond.
这样呢，那个老鼠就被他拖着进到水底里面。
And the mouse is dragged to the bottom.
过了一会儿，那个水面上就浮出了老鼠的尸体了，淹死了。
A moment later, the mouse's body floated to the surface.
就在这个情况非常的高兴的时候，突然间树上面有一只老鹰冲下来，因为他看见了那个死老鼠。
And while the frog was congratulating himself, an eagle dived down to the pond.
抓起了那个死老鼠，然后飞上树上面。
And the eagle grabbed the dead mouse and landed in a tree.
青蛙因为自己也绑住在那条绳子上面，所以最后也被那只老鹰吃掉了。
And naturally, being tied together with the mouse, the frog was also dragged up by the eagle and was eaten.
那条绳子本来是要来抓老鼠的，最后自己死在那条绳子上面。
The rope which was prepared to kill the mouse also killed the frog himself.
那这个很简单的故事告诉我们一个道理，自己随时可能会掉进自己所挖的陷阱里。
The moral of this story is, you might fall into the very pit that you dig for others.
人心里面正直的时候，你就会活得很舒坦。
A righteous person has little worry.
在第十到十一节里面，传道者又提醒人了，你在做事情的时候啊，之前你就要想清楚怎样的才是最有果效的。
In verses 10 to 11, the preacher tells us that we must think carefully before we take our action.
我记得我小时候很喜欢看一套的卡通片动画片，叫一休和尚，大家看过吗？
I remember watching a cartoon about a monk Iku when I was young.
我相信我看那套卡通片的时候，你们基本上都不在妈妈的肚子里。
Ben's a lot older than we are.
我不是这样讲。在那个卡通片有一个我很深印象的是，有一次啊，讲到一休和尚啊，一个小朋友啊，他很会动脑筋，而且常常会战胜那一些的大人啊。
So I remember each episode was about this little monk who was very smart, and he always outsmarted those older than him because he used his brains.
有一次他就和一个非常强壮的一个大汉比赛，看谁能够把一盆饭啊米饭要磨成糊。
So once he was in a competition with a very strong man to see who could first grind a pot of rice to mush.
那个大汉呢，就用了一个很大的棍子，因为他很强壮啊，就这样不断的打那一团的米饭。
So the big man used, he was very strong, and he used a large pole to crush the rice.
很快的啊，几分钟那个大部分的米就已经变成了糊了。
And soon enough, most of the rice became paste.
而一休和尚他是一个小孩子啊，没什么力气啊，能够拿得起这么大的棍子。
And Iku, who was a little child, he had no strength to lift such a big pole.
但是他并没有放弃，而是他在使用他的头脑和耐性去面对这样的问题。
He didn't give up, but he decided to use his smarts and patience to attack this problem.
他只用了一根小棍子，然后一点一点的把那些的饭磨成米糊。
He used a little stick and began to slowly grind the rice.
一开始看上去的时候啊，那个大汉就完全占了上风，因为他几分钟就把大部分的饭打成了糊了。
At first sight, it seemed that the strong man was definitely ahead. He almost mashed the entire pot after a few minutes.
但接着呢，那一大堆的饭里面，就是打碎了的和没打碎的混在一起的时候，那个大汉怎么再用力，他都没有办法把混在里面那些的米再打碎再磨碎。
But later on,The broken rice and the whole rice were all mixed together, and try as he might, he couldn't mash them anymore.
而一休和尚呢，你看上去他很慢很慢，一点一点的把那些米磨碎然后放到另外一边去。
And even though Iku's method was slow going, he grinded the rice little by little and placed the mashed rice to one side.
当他完成了所有的工作的时候，那个大汉他已经精疲力尽，但是他还是没有办法把那一大堆的米饭完全的打成糊。
By the time Ikkyu finished his work, the big man was already exhausted, and still he didn't have all the rice grinded.
其实传道者在这几节的经文里面呢、啊，就是这样去提醒人：你做事情之前，你先要思想好才去做。
So the preacher wants us to think before we act.
他举个例子：你砍树之前，你首先要把斧头磨快了，才不会浪费你的气力。
And he gives us an example that we must sharpen our axe before we start cutting to avoid unnecessary work.
对你们来说，很多人，你们有没有想过读书的时候，其实怎么样的方法才是最有效的呢？
Have any of you ever thought what is the best way to study to be most effective?
我们再看下去，12到15节呢，提出了是有关人言语里面的那种的危险。
Verses 12 and 15 tells us the dangers of words.
智慧人讲的是恩言，也就是讲话里面的都是正面的，有意义的，对人有好处的。
A wise person speaks words of grace, which means words that are positive and can benefit other people.
而愚昧人呢，喜欢讲废话，或是喜欢预测未来。
But a fool likes to talk nonsense or try to predict the future.
传道者说，提醒大家讲话的时候要多讲造就人的话，这才是智慧的表现。
The preacher wants us to know that a wise person speaks only to build others up.
16到17节了，提到在一个群体里面有智慧的领袖是多么的重要。
Verses 16 and 17, the preacher talks about how important it is to have a good leader in your society.
想象一下，它里面讲到一个国家里面的国王，如果是一小孩子的话，又或者是这个国家里面的大臣啊，主要的官员，他们都只顾吃喝玩乐的话，这个国家的人民就会非常的悲哀。
It says that a country would be in deep trouble if its king is just a boy.Or if its ministers indulge in gluttony.
相反的，一个好的领袖会带领其他的人走向更好的未来。
In contrast, a good leader would lead others to better future.
有智慧的人会知道自己的责任不单单是为了自己，更是要为了整个群体而努力的。
A wise leader knows that he is not responsible for himself alone, but to toil for the entire community.
所以当在一个国家当中，特别像澳洲，我们去投票，去选政党，去选总理，去管理这个国家的时候，我们也非常的要小心。
Therefore, we must be very careful when we are voting for a leader to lead this country.
因为领袖的职数会影响到群体大众的生活。
Because the leader's character will affect the lives of the whole community.
在当中或者我们自己是已经在做教会的领袖的或者其他方面的领袖的，你要做一个有智慧的领袖。
Some of us here are already leaders of this church. You must be a wise leader.
当然有些人说我不是领袖，那你要去跟随领袖小组长的时候你要看看他是不是一个有智慧的领袖。
Those who are not leaders, you need to choose to see if your leader is a wise person to obey.
作为基督徒，你们能告诉我谁是最有智慧的领袖，让我们来跟随吗？
As a Christian, who is the wisest leader for us to follow?
当然，因为耶稣拥有属天的智慧，是我们每一个人的领袖去学习去跟随的。
And obviously, Jesus' wisdom comes from heaven, and he is the role model for every one of our leaders to follow.
十八节了，讲得非常的清晰简单。
Verse 18 is simple and clear.
房子倒塌了或是漏水了，是因为人懒惰啊，不维修的原因。
A house will leak water or even fall, collapse if its owners are too lazy to repair it.
大部分的学生考试不好都是因为平常懒惰不读书。
A student would usually fail at his exam if he is too lazy to study.
英国有一个牧师，他这样的讲这句话，他说：“一条懒惰的狗都会遭人颓弃， 一个懒惰的人当然无法逃脱世人对他的脾气和惩罚。
An English pastor once said, if a lazy dog is cast aside by its owner, then certainly a lazy person could not escape the disdain and punishment from its society.
再没有什么事情比懒惰更加不可救药了。
Nothing is as beyond hopelessness as laziness.
懒惰是一种的毒药，它既毒害人的肉体，也会毒害人的心灵。
Laziness is a poison which harms both the body and the mind.
懒惰的人其实他总会找借口给自己的，而懒惰里面最常见的伪装借口就是没有时间。
A lazy person would always find an excuse, and the most common disguise it comes under is I have no time.
年轻人整天说没时间，读不了书。
A lot of young people always say that they have no time to study.
结果呢，就是不能够接受良好的教育。
And they end up losing their education.
到工作的时候呢，有些人一天到晚说没时间，很忙，不愿意去学一些新的技能，结果呢一直停留在那，最后可能连工作都丢了。
A person who works might say that I have no time to learn new techniques to avoid responsibility, and they might even end up losing their job.
老的时候呢，有些人还说自己没时间去给自己的子孙做一个好的榜样，所以呢，子孙们都学着他一样，游手好闲，无所事事。
When they're old, they could say that they have no time to be a role model for his family, and his children and grandchildren end up following his footsteps in idling about and having nothing to do.
其实有时候很多基督徒也说自己没有时间，就不能在教会侍奉。
And often many Christians say, I have no time to serve at church.
就这样，不但自己的生命被没时间给吞灭了。
And in this way, a life is gobbled up by I have no time.
就算死了之后，也不能够给朋友、亲戚或者亲人留下什么好的印象，最后这个叫做枉活了一生。
And when this person dies, he leaves nothing for the society or for his family and friends. This is a life of meaninglessness.
特别讲到懒惰的人，灵性会受损。
Laziness can affect the spiritual life of a person.
现在很多人都说太忙了，没有时间读经，没有时间祷告，没有时间和神来沟通。
Many people say that they are too busy to spend time on reading the Bible or talking to God.
真的没有时间吗？
Are they really short on time?
我问一下大家，你们当中哪一个人一天只有20个小时？
Let me ask you, who among you has only 20 hours in a day?
有谁是比别人少4个小时的？
Who has 4 hours shorter than others?
很显然的，神在时间上面没有亏待任何一个人，每一个人都有24小时一天。
Obviously, God did not shortchange anyone in terms of time. Everyone has 24 hours in a day.
问题是你怎么去用时间，你怎么去安排优先次序。
The question is, how do you use that time? How do you prioritize your life?
懒惰所带来的后果，最后是要你自己去承担的。
You are the oneultimately responsible for whatever result your laziness brings to you.
我们继续看下去经文19-20节里面传道者重提了之前他所提出的那一些虚空的事情包括享乐或者金钱等等。
Verses 19-20 reiterates some of the topics that the preacher talked about in the past regarding vanity, including pleasure and wealth.
虽然他之前指出了这些事情对人生最终极的问题就是死亡是没有什么帮助的。
Even though he pointed out that these things cannot ultimately solve the problem of death.
但是如果我们不谈死亡的话呢，金钱和享乐其实还是有正面的意义的。
But if we don't talk about death for a while, there are still some positive things about these things.
最起码这些的享乐是神所允许的。
At least these things are permitted by God.
然后传道者又提醒我们，当我们人生当中去追求这些事情的时候呢，你要注意哈。二十节说，不要在你的意念中去咒骂君王，也不要在你的卧房中去咒骂财主。
The preacher reminds us that we must take care when aspiring to these things in our lives. Verse 20 says, Do not curse the king, even in your thoughts, or curse the rich, even in your bedroom.
也就是在提醒那些你在追求金钱啊、权力啊的时候，你要看到自己的限制，不要连君王啊你都不尊重。
It is a warning for those who are pursuing power to see their own limits and keep their respect for the king.
啊，也不要因为你去追求金钱而会产生嫉妒别人有钱人那种的心态。
And do not grow jealous for your pursuit of money.
因为这些都是罪，罪是不能够永远被埋藏起来的，有一天你要去付这个代价的。
Because they are sinful acts which cannot be buried forever and will one day demand retribution.
人在追求这个世界上的这些的事情的时候不是不可以，但是不要超越了神给我们画的那一条的界限。
When we aspire to these things in this world, we should not cross the line that God has set for us.
亚当夏娃当神创造他们的时候，是让他们可以去享受神所创造的一切的。
When God created Adam and Eve, He did it so that they could enjoy everything He has created.
但是亚当夏娃超越了神给他们画的那条界限，以致到把罪引进来了。
But when they went beyond the limit set by God, they brought sin into this world.
所以我们可以去追求享受金钱，但是不要超越神的界限。
So we can pursue pleasure and wealth, but we should never cross the line set by God.
11章的第一节，很多人都不明白呀。这节经文里面讲到粮食撒在水面上是什么意思。
Most people don't understand what verse 1 of chapter 11 means by sending out your bread upon the waters.
那在今天很多研究圣经的学者呢，对这句话有两种不同的解释。
There are currently two popular explanations for this verse.
那第一个呢是指把你所拥有的财产做投资以取得回报。
The first is that you should invest what you have in order to receive returns.
因为经文里面讲到水面的意思呢，就是海外的意思，在海外去投资。
By sending them upon waters, it means to invest overseas.
因为在当时地中海的贸易是很兴旺的，所罗门也常常的和其他的国家透过海上的运输来做这种的贸易的活动。
Because the economy of the Mediterranean area was booming in those times, and Solomon often traded with other countries.
那另一个解释呢，是指行善的工作。
The other explanation is regarding charity work.
在箴言里面就讲到怜悯贫穷的，就是借给耶和华的他的行善，耶和华必偿还。
Proverbs tells us that whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord and will be repaid in full.
虽然两个解释不一样，但是道理是一样的。
Even though the two explanations are different, they have the same principle behind them.
就是一个有智慧的人会把他所拥有的资产或者财产做投资，以赚取更好的回报。不管这个投资是属世的投资、金钱的投资，还是属灵的投资，去行善。
Whether it be worldly or spiritual wealth, a wise person would invest what he has in order to capitalize on his returns.
对我个人来说呢，我认为所罗门在这里讲的是属世的，就是讲这种贸易更多一点，是金钱上面的投资。
Personally, I believe that Solomon here is talking about worldly wealth and investment.
因为到第二节里面所罗门就讲到了，如果你要投资的话呢，最好把它分作七份或者八份，投资在不同的地方。
Because in verse 2, the preacher cautions us to divide our means 7 or 8 ways to invest in different places.
也就是今天每一个经济学家都知道的事情哈，不要把所有的鸡蛋放在一个篮子里啊，要分散的投资。
Which is a fact that every economist knows about today. Don't put all your don't put all your eggs in one basket. You must diversify.
啊，这样的话呢，就算啊有些地方将来出现问题的话，也不会导致你一无所有。
This way, even if there were problems with some of your investments, you wouldn't be left penniless.
那所以我们看到所罗门是这么有投资智慧的，所以怪不得他这么有钱呢。
No wonder Solomon was so wealthy. It was because he knew exactly how to invest.
啊，到11:3-5传道人在提出了，在这个世上有很多的事情是人不能够理解的。
In verses 3-5, the preacher brings up the fact that there are many things in this world that mankind cannot understand.
因为世界是神的作为。
Because the world was created by God.
所以人要知道自己是有限的。你在做一切的事情上面，如果你知道自己是有限的话，你就会谦卑啊，不要骄傲自大，以为自己什么都懂。
Therefore, one must know his own limits. One must have a humble attitude and not be so proud as to think that they know everything.
在6-8的时候，在回应刚才讲过的懒惰的说法，人要努力工作才有收成。
Verses 6-8 echoes the previous warning against laziness.Man must work hard for his harvest.
里面讲到早晨要撒你的种，直到晚上也不要缺手。
In the morning, sow your seed, and at evening, do not let your hands be idle.
今天我们讲了这所罗门提出来的11点啊，我总结了11点，就是所罗门对人生活在这个人群体的生活中应该有的智慧做出的一个总结。
11 points above, were a summary of Solomon's wisdom on living in a society.
想一下，如果你能够把这么多的重点都放在你做人的原则上面，我相信你一定会是一个非常成功的人。
If you set these points up as your life principles, then you should become a very successful person.
同意吗？
Do you agree?
很成功吗？
Very successful?
一半。
Maybe only half.
为什么？因为我们活在这个世上，不单单要处理人与人之间的关系。
Because while we live on this world, we cannot only rely on the wisdom that deals with other people.
你拥有了这一些事情，你可以在人群当中成为一个很成功的人。
You might become a successful person, within the group of people that you live in.
但是我们生活在神所创造的世界当中，我们还要去思想如何的与神在一起生活。
But living in this world created by God, we must also have the wisdom to manage our relationship with Him.
所以今天你能够做到这么多的时候，你是半个智慧人啊，是半个成功的人。
So if you can do these things, you'll be half a wise person.
下个礼拜我们再把另外一半讲完了之后，你把它全部做完了，你们每一个人都是有智慧的人，都是成功的人。
And next week, when we follow that up with the second half, you will all become completely wise people.
然后呢，在这两次的讲到的里面可能我们在团契里面不一定能够查得到，因为假期快到了。
Because of the upcoming holidays, we might not be able to cover these topics in our cell groups.
但就算你们是团契里面不能够讨论这两次的讲题，也在放完假能够重新查经的时候把这两次留下来要查完。
Even so, let us resume with these topics after the holidays.
因为这两次是整个传道书的总结，是我们半年查了这么长时间里面的一个总结。
Because this is the conclusion to what we have been studying for the past 6 months.